Welcome back to Hype Podcast. This is Hypeable.com's flagship show, where we bring you all the latest news in entertainment and pop culture every week. My name is Pamela, and I will be your host today for episode 101. We really, really hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode, which was our big 100 special, because we had a lot of fun making that for you guys. This week, we have a couple of hosts that are a bit MIA. Kyle is off traveling the world, and we're all super, super jealous, because he's on his way to London to go see Cursed Child next week. And unfortunately, Selena and Marima are off doing scholarly things. I can speak, I can English. But don't worry, we still have a full panel for you guys. We've got a jam-packed show. I have Kristen with me as always. We're so happy to have her all the time. And we also have a special guest this week because we wanted to make sure you guys got a broad range of opinions. We have Danielle on, and she is an awesome features writer for Hypeable.com. She's been on a bunch of other podcasts that you might recognize her from, Rewatchable and stuff like that, but we're super, super excited to have her this week because we do have a lot of things that we know she's an expert on. So welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you. Kristen and I were like talking before. We were like, oh, it's so good that we got Danielle on this week because we've got some superhero stuff and we know she's a pro. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a great time. We're going to get right into it because, like I did say, we do have a jam-packed episode for you guys. We're going to start with How We Hype, as always. And since Danielle is new here, let's start with you. Tell us what you've been doing in fandom this week.
Sure. So this week, I have been binge-watching Bates Motel because I really enjoy the show, but I got really, really behind to the point where I had about two seasons to binge watch this week. So that was kind of fun and also kind of depressing at the same time. So that was that. And then today I just started watching Dark Matter because I figure I might as well put my Netflix to good use. So I'm trying to start binge watching shows again, and that was the one that I chose.
That's cool. I started kind of watching Bates Motel this season because it was on right before Damien, which was like my favorite show of the past year, except that it got canceled. So A&E kind of broke my heart. But I'd never seen Bates Motel before, and it looks really interesting. So I kind of want to go back and rewatch it now. And I know that Netflix has it all, so it's very tempting.
It's really good. I love Psycho. Like, I really, really enjoy just watching that movie. And the great thing about Bates Motel is that it's so well done that you can see the flickers of what's to come later, like popping up in characterizations and settings and everything. It's really interesting to watch the show with the movie in mind. So it's like candy to me.
Kristen, what have you been doing?
Well, actually, it was like 2 weeks ago, but since we didn't really do How We Hype last week, I wasn't really able to talk about my love for Survivor and all things Survivor. They wrapped up their 31st season not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, and it was amazing, and I love that show, and Karen watched it with me, and Karen hates reality TV, and even she was, like, sucked in. It was awesome. But they also did a Price is Right special. I think it was, like, last Thursday evening or last Friday evening. CBS did specials for all of its reality competition shows, so, like, Amazing Race did one, and Survivor did one, and Big Brother did one. I haven't watched the Amazing Race or the Big Brother ones yet. That's to come. But I happened to come home from work and see that it was in the on-demand queue, and I was like, I could totally watch this. It was so much fun, like, seeing all of these massive Survivor fans get to play the Price is Right games, like, alongside their favorite castaways, and, like, Jeff Probst got to, like, get involved in some of the games, and Drew Carey had no idea what was going on, so he just kept, you know, making ridiculous jokes. It was really, really fun, though, and you could tell the contestants were just excited, so I am just loving all things Survivor and, you know, counting down the next, I think it's 3 weeks until Big Brother starts. And yeah, then that will take over my summer, as per usual.
I'm so happy you brought this up because, like, mini little story. My best friend's dad is head of lighting at CBS, and he's the one that makes a lot of the sets. So every time The Price is Right has to make, like, a new set, He makes it. So he designed like that whole like 70s vibe and like the new wheel, like his team did. But when he was designing it, he was like showing me all these things with like Survivor and Amazing Race and all this stuff. And he's like, I don't know what's going on, because, you know, he's like an older industry person, so he doesn't really care. And he's like, yeah, but like all these shows that you watch, they're just like here, so you might want to look into it. And I just like completely forgot until you brought it up. So I'm like, aww, it suddenly all makes sense. So shout out to Papa Smith.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Okay, well, I digress. Very quickly, I did want to share that I went to Bottle Rock this weekend, this past Memorial Day weekend. And for those of you that don't know what Bottle Rock is, it's a huge music festival out here in Northern California. And it's been getting a lot more traction every year. And I think this year is like the biggest it's ever been. So it was really, really cool to get out to do that. I haven't been to that many like other music festivals, although I know that they're like, they're in abundance. I mean, there's like Sasquatch, there's Coachella, there's Governor's Ball, there's Bamboozled, there's like all this stuff. But Bottle Rock is the one that we get up here in Northern California around Memorial Day. And it's so fun because it's also pegged as like a food and wine festival. So it's not just music. And I think that that's why it's got much more of a chill vibe, at least for me. But definitely if you're like looking for a music festival that's off the beaten path to kind of travel to, and like Coachella is sold out or Governor's Ball is sold out or whatever, I would highly, highly recommend checking Bottle Rock out, because like I said, they just keep getting better and better every year. They had so many good musical acts. Stevie Wonder and Lenny Kravitz were there the first day and they were amazing. And Walk the Moon and Mr. Wives were there and they were fantastic. There's a lot of like local musicians like Fantastic Negrito, who is like this awesome bluesy old school kind of guy. And he's was just like, he blew me away. And then on Sunday, I was really excited because I've been such a huge fan of Andrew McMahon for so long from Something Corporate and Jack's Mannequin. And we got to see him play. And he was just wonderful. So yeah, it was such a good time. I had such a great like experience overall, which is not really what I was expecting, because music festivals can be so kind of chaotic, but this one is super, super chill. So like I said, if you're looking for like a nice one to go to and you're in California and maybe want to make a weekend getaway of it, I highly recommend doing Bottle Rock, because I think you would have a fantastic time, and it's not too hot, and yeah, it's great. And there's lots of really yummy food. And that was the best part.
I think I saw something about like Top Chef chefs being there this year, because I know I saw something on Twitter about it. I follow a bunch of the Top Chef chefs because I love them. And yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. It just kind of seemed like an awesome, yeah, merge of like music and food and all of that good stuff.
It was. And it's like, it's the perfect locale because, you know, it is in wine country. Napa is like renowned for its wine. Yeah. So it makes sense to have it there, or like to peg it around that. But yeah, like the Top Chef guys are there, like a bunch of them. Gordon Ramsay was there. We saw his little like set on the Williams Sonoma stage. So it's like, it's so funny because you have these like chefs coming out and they're like rock stars. And it was amazing. Yeah, it was so cool. I could not recommend it enough. There's a lot of cool music festivals out there, but if you're kind of looking to get your feet wet, I think this is a really nice like entry level one. And it's just kind of fun to be like out and enjoying music with other people. Like we kind of like stuck towards the back, even for like the bigger acts, and we still had a great time. So it was really nice. Okay, so that is our How We Hype segment. We'll be back next week with more fun stories for you guys. We're going to jump right into the news. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. We are going to kick things off with Harry Potter, as we usually do. Although I will say that it was really, really hard to pick the first story this week because there's so much big news, and we're going to get to it all. Okay, guys, let's talk Cursed Child. I know that we're all super upset because none of us here are going out to see it. But the good news is that a bunch of Hypeable staffers are going to go out to see one of the first preview shows. So we'll be having a lot of content going up on the site with regards to that next week. But for now, we all can enjoy our first look at some of our favorite characters all grown up for the play, and also some new players that we're going to see a lot of. So the official Cursed Child Twitter account started uploading these like official cast photos about 2 days ago, and we got a really nice one of Harry and Ginny all grown up, and of course Albus Severus. We also got one that like completely broke fandom because we got the Granger Weasley clan. We got Ron, who looks so much like Arthur that I keep wanting to call him Arthur, but it's Ron. And grown-up Hermione, who looks amazing, and like, you know, like little Rose, and she looks great. And all these pictures are up on hypeable.com with some comments that J.K. Rowling made about each of the characters. When these pictures came out, they're really, really great. So we highly recommend you guys go and check these out. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to take a look at these, but I was just like, it just makes the play feel so much more real seeing portraits like this. I don't know if it's just me, but I got like a little emotional over it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a real thing.
When I first saw the Harry, Ginny, and Albus picture, like, it took me a second to place who it was because she looks a lot like Ginny. She's, you know, she's exactly how I kind of pictured Ginny. But the rest of them, like, I was like, wait a minute, that's not James, right? Like, because even they, the three of them, look a lot like James, Lily, and Harry. So it's like, wait, hold on. Who's in this play? When exactly does this take place? So, yeah, they're really good. The pictures are really great, and I'm really interested to find out, you know, what some of the Potter fans from Hypeable think about it. Like, I want to, you know, what they think about the story and how it kind of continues the tale and whether they like that or what. So, yeah, I'm sad I'm not going to make it over there to see it, but, you know, I'll be first in line to get my copy of the play when it comes out in book form.
I agree with you. I'm in the camp of I want nothing to do with this, but it was kind of hard to ignore the photos. And I do think that the photo of Harry, Ginny, and the kid, was it Albus maybe?
Yeah.
I do think that looks a lot like Harry and his parents. I actually did see, I think it was on Twitter, there was like a side-by-side photo comparison of the two of them. And they almost looked identical, which was kind of crazy. So I did enjoy that aspect of it.
And then very quickly, J.K. Rowling did promise, if you are interested in Cursed Child, that it's probably going to make you cry. This was in regards to a fan that asked if she should basically like pack the tissues. And she was like, yeah, if you're not crying, then we're going to check your vitals. So that's going to bode well for everybody we know that's going to see the play. but just a fun little story. Of course, J.K. Rowling is like so active on Twitter these days that like if you're looking for new Potter information, there is no shortage of that going down. So that's all we have for Harry Potter for now. And we're going to move into the rest of the news stories.
Yeah. So one news story that broke right before we started recording, a few hours before, but nonetheless, is that Captain Marvel is eyeing Brie Larson to be the Carol Danvers. So in case you are not really familiar with Captain Marvel, she is this amazing female character in the Marvel lineup, and she is actually the first female to get her own Marvel movie, standalone Marvel movie, because I'm not counting Ant-Man and the Wasp. And if you don't know who she is, look her up. She's amazing. She's strong in every sense of the word. And I really think that Brie Larson would be a great choice for her. We've seen her do so many different things. She had such a great range, and just her acting chops in Room were so wonderful that I think she could pull off Carol Danvers like nothing. And we ran a poll actually over on our Hypeable Twitter. It's still going, but it may be closed by the time you hear this. But basically we're asking if people were a fan of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel or if they weren't. And as of right now, 84% of people approve Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. So I think people are along there with me thinking that Brie Larson would make a great Carol Danvers. I don't know if you guys had any opinions about this or not.
I'm just kind of amazed that Marvel was able to like draw her in like that. I'm excited. I love her. She's great. I think I've loved pretty much everything I've seen her in the last like, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. But it just surprises me the caliber of actor that they're able to draw in to like even the newer, you know, projects and whatnot. Like it just continues to shock and amaze, because you kind of assume that, you know, the bigger stars or people like Brie Larson, who is fresh off, you know, an Academy Award win, would be more interested in that fare and, like, you know, continuing her legacy as an, you know, an Academy Award winning actress. But no, like, she's just as game to dive in and play a kick-ass character like Captain Marvel. Like, it just, it amazes me that they're able to draw people in for this stuff. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, it's kind of getting to the point where it's basically where you people walk up to an actor in an interview and they ask him if they've been approached by Marvel or DC. Like, at some point, there will be no fantastic actor who has not been in some sort of comic book property movie, which amazes me. But I have no doubt that it'll be like that at some point.
That's such a good point. And yeah, I mean, like, if they can get her, that's awesome, because like you guys are saying, she's such a phenomenal actress and she's kind of like this bright light because she's only really kind of just started her career and she's hit the ground running, and it's amazing. So I don't know very much about Captain Marvel, but I do know a little bit about Brie Larson and I will pretty much watch anything she does. So that alone has me excited for the possibility.
Most definitely. And from one kick-ass actress to another, Disney announced this week, it gave us a whole bunch of news about Mary Poppins. We kind of knew that this, they were batting around the remake of Mary Poppins or a sequel. And Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda had been rumored to be, you know, circling it. Well, we found out that they are in fact starring, in the new adaptation, whatever. We will be able to see Mary Poppins Returns in December 25th, 2018. So, you know, all of those Hamilton fans have something to look forward to because Lin has something coming out, and, you know, we know how obsessed they all are with Lin. They also released a synopsis for the movie, and I'll read it real quick because it's not very long. Blunt has been cast as Mary Poppins, and Miranda will play a new character. They're talking about Lin, yes. A street lamplighter named Jack. Drawing from the wealth of material in P.L. Travers' 7 additional novels, the story will take place in Depression-era London, when the books were originally written, and follows a now-grown Jane and Michael Banks, who, along with Michael's 3 children, are visited by the enigmatic Mary Poppins following a personal loss. Through her unique magical skills and with the aid of her friend Jack, she helps the family rediscover the joy and wonder missing in their lives. So, yeah, I'm excited. I love Mary Poppins, and I like that they're not retelling the musical. Like, it's a tried-and-true musical, and you can't really get better than Julie Andrews. So, I like that this is a whole new story, that you get a little tie-in with Jane and Michael, but it's, you know, it's a brand-new story to tell.
The thing that I think I'm most excited about at the moment is just being able to see Lin-Manuel Miranda perform. Just because I'm chilling over here in Chicago and it's nowhere near New York where Hamilton is going on. So I only know of him from his persona rather than any sort of performances or anything like that. So I'm actually more excited for this movie for him rather than the fact that it's Mary Poppins, if that makes any sense at all. Which it kind of doesn't in my head, but it also does.
Lin-Manuel, fun fact, that he's in an episode of How I Met Your Mother. It's in the final season, when Marshall is on the bus, I believe, or the train, and he's rapping/singing to the baby. And Lin is sitting on the seat, like, across the aisle and, like, raps with him. So, if you want a dose of him, if you look him up on IMDb, I think they credit him in the episode, so you should be able to find it. But every time I watch the episode, Karen gets really excited and runs in the room.
Of course, she does.
Is that Lin's? Is that Lin's? So, yeah. It's just, it's a little fun fact for those that want to kind of see what he's all about.
And I think it'll be fun to see him do, I mean, not that Hamilton is not wonderful. I feel like everybody could just sit and watch Hamilton for days, or a lot of people on our staff can. But it will be nice to see him stretch himself and do other things. I think that that's really nice. And it must be really nice for him, too. I feel like this is kind of like a dream because he's so into stuff like Disney and creating and it's an opportunity to create another character. So that's wonderful. Okay, so this, I'm really excited about this, you guys. I'm a huge James Bond fan, and we have so much James Bond news. So we're going to run through this very quickly so we don't take up too much time here. First and foremost, director Sam Mendes announced officially that he will not be returning for James Bond 25. He was, of course, the man behind Skyfall and Spectre, two wonderful Bond films that starred Daniel Craig. So if you were a fan of those and you're hoping that Mendes would continue on with the franchise, unfortunately, he's not going to be doing that. And everybody's kind of waiting. So now that he's announced that he's not returning, for Daniel Craig to officially announce that he's not going to return as Bond, although that's kind of a rumor that we've all kind of taken to be true, since he's kind of stated in the past that he was kind of done with the franchise. He's kind of been given those vibes. But it is going to be a new era as far as Bond is concerned. Interestingly enough, one of the front runners to take over the director's chair for Bond is actually, she's a Danish director named Suzanne Bier, and if she gets the role, she'll be the first female to direct a James Bond film, which is huge. This is, of course, coming off the news that, you know, like Priyanka Chopra, who stars in Quantico, said that she'd like to be James Bond or Jane Bond, and Gillian Anderson saying that she would love to be James Bond as well. And recently, Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones also threw her name into the hat. Of course, we kind of don't really know what's going to happen with the next reincarnation of Bond, but it is a really interesting idea to kind of think about what could happen if they decided to completely reboot it and toss a female into the mix. Of course, it is kind of like the hot ticket in Hollywood right now. It's kind of like the new Han Solo casting thing. Like, I think everybody kind of would dream of being Bond. And as such, there are a lot of speculations as to who could be picking up the role if and when Daniel Craig exits. Most recently, Tom Hiddleston, who is, of course, a fan favorite, has been rumored to be in talks for the role. And also Jamie Bell, who originally, you know, got his claim to fame in Billy Elliot, but was also in that terrible remake of Fantastic Four. His name has also been tossed into the mix, which I think is very interesting because he does kind of resemble a very young Daniel Craig. And he would be like the youngest actor to be rumored to take on the role. At the same time, Sam Mendes was also quoted as saying that it doesn't really matter who you guys think is going to be Bond, because chances are Barbara Broccoli, who inherited the power to choose the next James Bond from her father, kind of never goes with the popular vote. She almost always picks somebody out of obscurity, and they always do a great job. So it's going to be really interesting to see where the franchise goes from here. As somebody that's a huge fan of the entire series, I'm looking forward to it too, but I'm also a little anxious because I'm very picky about my Bonds.
I just love that all of the, if you're British and an actor and anywhere near the age, you've talked about how you'd like to be Bond. Like, now we're even involving all of the ladies. Like, everyone wants to be Bond.
Yeah, I've been enjoying watching all of this stuff unfold with all of people, like you said, like wanting to be Bond. I just have no connection to this because I've never seen a single Bond film. The closest I think I've gotten is playing, I think it was GoldenEye on some old video game console way back in the day. So I have no idea what's going on, but I really like just watching it and observing.
I am not necessarily in any specific corner, but if Priyanka Chopra gets an opportunity to be Bond, oh my god, she's so amazing. Like, I would watch, like, oh my gosh, those would be on my must-see list for sure.
She would be great.
I mean, she was amazing on Quantico this season, and she's just so good. I love her. A little bit of, it's not necessarily happy news. We did find out that The Maze Runner, The Death Cure, its premiere date has been pushed to 2018 due to Dylan O'Brien's injuries and him needing some time to heal, and as well as getting schedules back in order and getting everybody, you know, back on set. They had only filmed for like a week or so before they started, so they really didn't have a lot shot. It wasn't like, you know, they had a lot that they could do in his absence. He's in almost every frame of the movie, so you can't really do much of it without him. And he had already committed to another movie, which should be shooting this summer, so he just won't be healed in time to shoot more Maze Runner this year. So they had to push the movie. It's definitely not, you know, great news. I'm excited for Death Cure. I need to read that book, which this gives me a little more time. But I've loved the Maze Runner movies so far. I love Dylan O'Brien, and I love Westball and the team behind them. So I'm sad to see it have to be pushed back, but at least we know that it didn't have anything to do with the movie or interest in the movie. It's literally Dylan healing and getting everybody's schedules back in order. So
I'm interested. I'm sad as well, because I'm interested to see what they do with the Death Cure. The good news for you is that, as far as I can tell, the Death Cure, the movie, will be not very much like the book. I just recently watched The Scorch Trials, and I had no idea what was going on for most of it. So I feel like that trend will continue. So if you wanted to read the book, I don't think you have to rush it.
Have you read them?
I did, yeah. I went through them, I think, last summer.
Okay, because when we saw, Karen and I went and saw like the first half hour of Scorch Trials last summer at SDCC, and Wes Ball was there and told us that they were merging the two stories. So like a lot of the stuff that I had no idea what was going on in Scorch Trials, I just kind of, you know, put it on, hey, it must have been stuff from Death Gear. So, yeah, that's interesting. If there was stuff that even you didn't notice, like, recognize, I'll have to keep an eye out when I finally do get around to reading that one.
Yeah, from what I remember, I can see where they merged the two books for the Scorch Trials, but the direction in which that movie was headed towards the end was not something I was remembering. So maybe I have to go back and read a synopsis, but I think they might be going in a slightly different direction at this point.
Okay, yeah. Either way, it's still exciting, and
and sad.
I know we'll all be excited to go see it. Hopefully, the franchise doesn't lose any steam, but I honestly don't think it will. It'll just postpone the big, you know, marketing push about 6 months or 7 months. So we'll get it eventually.
But one thing that we're getting sooner than eventually is Suicide Squad, which I personally am super excited about. And this week we got a little bit of a teaser from quite a few of the actors, one of which was Margot Robbie. And she was talking about how the director, David Ayer, really wanted her to be kind of strong and crazy and badass. And so he kept directing her to be vicious. So I'm really excited to see this Harley Quinn, because she's going to be playful. She's going to be the person that we're expecting her to be. But I think the fact that he was pushing her to be vicious is going to give a little bit more of a spin on the character and kind of round her out more. Like, she's not just some goofy person that you can take in and out of things. The vicious factor kind of makes her more of a human being, more of a person. So I was really excited to read about that. And they just also talked to a few of the other ladies, like Viola Davis, who plays Amanda Waller. And she was talking about how she brought like badassness to her character, and how Cara Delevingne brought like badassness to her character. So I'm just getting more and more excited for Suicide Squad as each day rolls by. I want it now. And I didn't think I would want it as much as I do, but I'm so on board with this, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I have to say, like, seeing all the recent trailers for this, I'm more excited now for Suicide Squad than I ever was before. And one of my biggest, like, worries was that in the trailers, Harley Quinn kind of comes off as, like, really playful and silly, and I was kind of worried that she wouldn't, like, necessarily fit in with the gruff viciousness of everything else. So the fact that that was a specific direction they wanted to take her makes me happy. Like, I'm glad that she will be just as formidable a part of the actual squad as everybody else. Because when you've got Deadshot and all the others in there, it's like, you know, you want her to kind of fit in and be just as powerful and kick-ass. So, yeah, I'm really glad that that's a thing.
Exactly. You want her to fit in and not just be a pushover character. Or not just be someone that you can, like, place in different places and be a means to an end. Like, she's her own person. Because she's vicious, I guess.
Love it, love it. Well, from one summer blockbuster to another, we have some, you know, Ghostbusters news. Like, we never talk about Ghostbusters on the show. Dan Aykroyd, star and creator of the original Ghostbusters, has seen the reboot, and he has put a giant stamp of approval on it. He says, as originator of the original, saw test screening of new movie. Apart from brilliant, genuine performances from the cast, both female and male, it has more laughs and more scares than the first two films, plus Bill Murray is in it. As one of millions of man fans and Ray stands, I'm paying to see that and bringing all my friends. So, for those who might be, you know, really big fans of the first, you know, original Ghostbusters movies that were on the fence, Dan Aykroyd, Ray stands, the man himself, has put his stamp of approval on it, so go support these ladies and their badass vision for this film, and yeah, I'm excited. I love Ghostbusters, so I am all about this, and the fact that Dan Aykroyd is all about it just makes me even happier.
I am excited about this. I'm so-so on Ghostbusters, I think because I saw it later in life, but I am 100% a Leslie Jones fan. So
I love her. Yes.
She's the greatest. So I am so excited for Leslie Jones. Another thing I'm sort of excited for, in addition to just my complete sadness, is that there are still a bunch of people rallying to get Agent Carter picked up again for whether it's another season or some sort of movie or anything like that. And I've been a part of it. I've seen a whole bunch of people like tweeting about it and campaigning for it. But the people who kind of matter most in the campaign or have more sway are the actors themselves, and they are 100% here for bringing Agent Carter back. And Hayley Atwell even said that she would do whatever it takes. So she's currently filming a TV show that is not Agent Carter, which is fine. But she said that she would do anything to make it work so that we could have Agent Carter back. She would work overtime. She would use, like, the blue serum, like, anything just to bring Agent Carter back because she loves Peggy probably as much as we do. And in addition to Hayley Atwell, Bridget Regan, who played Dottie, she's also just completely into it. She actually tweeted out just the simple sentence, "We need Peggy," which is beautiful. And then recently at, what is this, MCM London Comic Con, Dominic Cooper and Lottie Verbeek, who played Howard Stark and Anna Jarvis, they were there and they were talking about Agent Carter as well. And the actress who played Anna was just so sorry that it got canceled, even though it wasn't her fault. She says, "I feel like we're kind of letting you guys down, but it wasn't my decision, unfortunately." And Cooper kind of felt the same way, but he said that he is 100% down to reprise his role as Howard Stark, and he really does see hope for the canceled series. So now that we have these sort of bigger names putting themselves behind Agent Carter, hopefully something will come of it, because if we don't get another, I don't even know what, of Agent Carter, it will be a real travesty, because she needs her story to be finished or continued. I don't care what happens. I just need more Agent Carter, and it's nice to know that these actors are behind it.
It seems like such a no-brainer for Netflix. Like, they already own so much Marvel, you know, and have done such a great job with Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and we're all looking forward to Luke Cage and Iron Fist and all of that. It seems like such a no-brainer that with as passionate a fan base as Agent Carter has, clearly, that they would want to pick it up. Like, it didn't do well on broadcast TV, but that's, you know, it didn't do as well as ABC wanted it to do. But it also was shoved into, like, 2 months in January and was never really given the same marketing push that you see for other things. And, like, it never really got the same treatment that I feel like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow and all of the other comic book, you know, style shows get. So I can't understand why Netflix isn't like, yes, absolutely, let's grab this, let's, you know, add it to our Marvel monopoly here, and we'll just take over the world. Because when you've got such great names like Hayley and yeah, all the other names that we know and love from the show, it just, it bugs me that they have not figured this out already. It's like, come on, You've got to do it. Like, you have to.
We've got some more TV news for you guys before we wrap up the news segment of our show. For starters, Outlander fans rejoice because Starz has just announced that they have officially renewed the series for season 3 and season 4. So that means we're going to get Voyager and Drums of Autumn, which are Diana Gabaldon's next two books in the series, in TV format. This is, of course, awesome news for anybody that's been enjoying the series. It's getting really, really, really good. I'm such a huge fan of the show. I'm such a huge fan of the books. So if you're looking for something to watch and you have not checked Outlander out yet, I highly recommend doing that because it's going to be around for a while. So that's really exciting if you're a fan.
This is one I've always kind of meant to get into. I haven't yet. I would like to at some point. It's always relieving for fans when they renew something for 2 seasons at a time. Like, I feel I'm happy for the Outlander fans. 2 seasons is like, okay, phew, we don't have to worry about this, you know, next year at this time where we're all kind of going, I really hope we get more. So that's always, you know, comforting and relaxing.
In other TV news, FX has officially picked up the new Marvel TV series. It's called Legion. And FX has picked it up for an 8-episode season, and it'll air in early 2017. Basically, the series is being described as the story of a troubled young man who may be more than human. So it's going to follow a character named David Haller, who has struggled with mental illness since he was a teenager. He's kind of going in and out of psychiatric hospitals and hearing voices. And then he stumbles across this one patient who kind of makes him believe that, hey, maybe the voices he hears and the things he sees might be real. So this fits into the Marvel universe in that, let me see if I have this right, because I'm not completely up on this character. But David is the son of Professor Charles Xavier. So he's a mutant like his father, but he also suffers from mental illness. So he has dissociative identity disorder. And so each of his personalities controls one of his superpowers. So we're going to get to see, I mean, in a way, we're going to get to see mutants on the small screen. How much it's going to connect to the X-Men universe is yet to be seen, just because of like rights and all of that fun stuff. But it'll be interesting to get this new kind of Marvel television show, that isn't on ABC or that isn't on Netflix, but it's on FX. I think it'll be kind of closer to what Netflix is doing. Maybe not as dark or graphic, but it's definitely going to be more intense than what goes on ABC.
And in our last bit of news, Ellen Pompeo has renewed her contract with Grey's Anatomy. So, in other words, Grey's Anatomy is staying on the air. Like, it was kind of sad when we lost, I cannot remember her name at the moment.
Sarah Ramirez.
Yeah. I knew it was Sarah, but I could not think of her last name. It was kind of sad that we lost Sarah Ramirez at the end of this past season that just wrapped up. As her exit was kind of surprise, nobody really knew she was leaving, so they didn't do like a huge Callie story to send her off. She just kind of drifted away. And so we were a little nervous that since Ellen Pompeo is kind of, you know, the heart and soul of the show, and her contract was up, and we were kind of curious as to whether she was, you know, interested in continuing or whatnot. But she has signed a contract and will be returning. We don't know how long, but we're, you know, assuming at least one season, if not more. It was really, really fun to see her this season kind of step back into the spotlight with Derek being gone and not having, you know, she really, really did ground the show, and it came back to being Meredith's story rather than, you know, the giant ensemble piece that it's been. Like, we still had a lot of stories from everybody else, but it was nice to get back to, you know, centering on Meredith and her life as well. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I love Grey's Anatomy. I still love Grey's Anatomy. I've been watching it since the beginning, and it's still one of those shows I look forward to, so I'm geeked that it's gonna be back and that she'll be back and that it's hopefully everybody else signs back on too.
Yeah, very fun. I think that it's kind of nice because there's been so many shifts on that series. It's nice. It's kind of comforting to know that there's a mainstay that's still gonna be there. You know, I mean, there are still a lot of people that are on, but she's the Gray of Grey's Anatomy. So
yeah, I mean, there's only like I believe, four main characters that have been there from the beginning that are left. Her, Justin Chambers, Shawnra Wilson, and James Pickens Jr., I think, are the four characters that have been there from the beginning. Everybody else has kind of come in on their own, you know, here and there. And Sarah Ramirez had been there since season two, but, like, again, she wasn't even, like, an original member of the show either. So, yeah, it's just nice that in this day and age where things get canceled all the time, that Grey's Anatomy has managed to, like, stick around. It's really fun.
Very, very true. Well, that actually wraps up our bigger news for the week. Of course, you can find all of the stories that we talked about over on Hypeable.com, and just a little, tiny little shout out to things that we're not able to get to this week. Bonnie Wright and Rupert Grint, of course, from Harry Potter, got sorted on Pottermore. There's some really cute videos of that up on Hypeable.com if you're interested in looking at those. The Frozen musical officially debuted over at Disneyland, where the old Aladdin musical had been for years and years and years. And as of when we are recording this, you can actually still watch a fan recorded version of the play. Like, if you can't make it out to Disneyland and you're like really into Frozen, you want to take a look at it. That video is actually up on YouTube, and we have a link to it over on Hypeable.com if that's something that you want to watch. In other nostalgic type of news, The Boxcar Children is getting an animated movie adaptation treatment. There's a movie series that's coming out. It's set to come out at the beginning of next year, or not the beginning of next year, but sometime in 2017. And they're pegging it around the 75th anniversary of the original series. So if you're a big fan of The Boxcar Children, that might be something that you want to keep an eye on, because it should be really fun. So that's all the news we have for you guys this week. But again, we do want to remind you that you can find these stories and many, many more stories over on Hypeable.com. We're going to move into TV show of the week. And I'm going to go first because mine's very, very short. I haven't really been watching my normal TV shows, but what I have been doing is getting back into the Graham Norton show, because I just think he's so funny as a talk show host. And I just saw the episode that he had. Is it Matt LeBlanc from Friends, Amelia Clark, who was there promoting Me Before You, Kate Beckinsale, and also Dominic Cooper. And it was just like, it was so, so funny. I don't know if you guys watch Graham Norton clips or anything like that, but it was just, it's one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen. And everybody was really great. And yeah, he's just like such a fun format. You can find a lot of the clips over on YouTube, so if you're looking for a good laugh, I highly recommend looking some of those up, because it's some of the funniest late night TV talk show type stuff that I've seen in a while, and he's always wonderful.
I think I've seen clips from his show. Like, his set is so colorful and crazy that it stands out in my brain. The best one I think I've ever seen was the McAvoy, Fassbender, and Hugh Jackman one, where they all did their little dance, and like, it was, they were promoting X-Men, and it was ridiculous. And yeah, no, love Graham Norton.
Yeah, I will just say that like Amelia Clark, who of course is you know, on Game of Thrones as well, it leads right into yours, Kristen. Actually, she's a huge Friends fan, so it was like, she is basically all of us next to our favorite person, because they sat her right next to Matt LeBlanc, and it was amazing. Like, if you only watch one clip, just go look up that interaction, because she's so excited and it's so adorable, and I'm just like, this is me every time I get put in a room with my favorite people. And I just love that she's so candid and so genuine, and she's wonderful.
Yeah, I love it when celebrities fangirl.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about Game of Thrones, Kristen.
Yes, Game of Thrones. I just have to say, this season, now that they've kind of departed from, you know, knowing exactly where everything's going, I feel like they've been waiting for this, because everything that we've ever wanted is, like, happening. This past week, a character who we have not actually, like, seen but has been talked about for a long time returned to the show, and we found out what was going on with this character the whole time, and I just, you know, it's like, those are the, like, some of the questions that fans have had since the first season started. Like, we've assumed that people were coming back, or that characters, you know, were gonna be important, but we just kept, you know, getting carrots dangled and then pulled away, and we, you know, we thought we were gonna see them and then we didn't. And yeah, it's just, I feel like Game of Thrones now is hitting its stride, now that they're kind of in the post book era and are now, like, moving toward their own, you know, finale. They're telling their own story in the same world and using what George R. R. Martin tells them, you know, that they can use from his story, but they, I feel like they're freer or something. I don't know. I'm loving Game of Thrones this season. That's basically it.
I totally agree. I never read the books save for maybe half of the first one, but I definitely feel like overall everybody's been really, really pleased with this season, and I've been really pleased with this season. So it is nice. And maybe it is, like you said, because like they're not tied down to the storyline anymore. So they can really pick and choose who they want to spend the most time with. And I think that as far as pacing goes, that is what has made this season so great so far. So definitely looking forward to Sundays from here on out until that wraps up for the year. Danielle, you have a show that we seldom talk about, but people always write in about.
Really? It's not talked about a lot? I figured with Kyle being on the podcast that he would just talk about it nonstop. But my show of the week is Orphan Black, and it's wonderful. Basically, I feel like, though it doesn't have subject matter that it takes from, like Game of Thrones does, I think that, like Game of Thrones, this season has really been a really great season for Orphan Black. It's kind of going back to its roots. It kind of got a little bit out there in the previous season, but this season it's stripping everything down and kind of seeing these characters at their best and at their worst. And this week's episode, or this past week's episode, is probably the best example of that. It was just so emotional the whole time. It wasn't as plot driven as it usually is. And so we got to see Tatiana Maslany do her thing with these characters and just basically rip our chests open and like grab our hearts. It was so good. And I don't want to ruin it, because I know some people like to watch it all at once. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I think this is probably one of the best episodes that Orphan Black has ever done. Just in terms of emotions and character development and acting, which says a lot, because Tatiana Maslany is a beast when it comes to this show. So Orphan Black is definitely my TV show of the week.
I think I'm definitely gonna throw that one in the ring for show I watched this summer. Like, I've been looking for something recently, because I finished rewatching Veronica Mars, and, you know, like, I was looking for something but couldn't really find anything. I kind of forgot about Orphan Black, so I might have to dive back in. I've seen, like, the first two episodes, and then I got distracted, so. But I might have to dive back in.
Yeah, so much has happened since then, Kristen.
I can only imagine.
So it's funny you mentioned Orphan Black, because we did get a comment about it in our show notes for last week. Of course, you can always leave us any feedback you might have on the show notes for the latest episode on hypeable.com. So this leads very nicely into the first part of our listener feedback. This comes from Will, and he writes, "Hi to you all. Just writing to thank you for another great podcast and for all the hard work that has been put into to get to you to 100 shows. The mention that the show is an opinion-directed show had me thinking about the topics that you cover in your discussions, such as LGBT, whitewashing, and the portrayal of women in media and pop culture, and that are all issues that need to be brought forward and discussed so that minds and opinions can be moved. Except for Kyle, who is a lone voice in the wilderness, I cannot understand why more of your team are not into the best show on TV, Orphan Black. All of your discussions on the issues are about identity and all are shown perfectly and perfectly portrayed on this show." And he goes on to list a lot of things that we actually cover on this show. So Will makes a very good point. And then he ends it off with, "So I encourage you to have a look or give it another go. Thanks again for your efforts in bringing a very entertaining and informative and sometimes laugh out loud funny podcast, Will." So there you go, Will. We've got some Orphan Black chat for you. Not to be confused with the podcast that Kyle hosts every once in a while. Oh, see? There you go. There you go. You can hit Danielle up on Twitter for those. J JKs. All right, guys, we are going to go into listener feedback. You guys had so much to say this week, and we love it when you participate in this way. We do want to remind you about all of our contact information in case you want to get a hold of us. For starters, like Will, you can always leave us comments in the latest episode's show notes on hypeable.com. If you have other comments that you want to leave that are rather lengthy in nature, you can always email us too, so you can drop us a line at the email address hype@hypeable.com. For shorter comments, you can always reach us via Twitter. We are at Hypeable Hype on there. We are also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram in case you want to follow along on any of the pop culture related adventures the hosts are having. And I'm sure that's going to be much more active and fun as we head into the summer months with everybody doing cool things. What else? How else can you contact us? Oh, we have a Tumblr. You want to hang out with us over there? We are hypepodcast.tumblr.com. So there are plenty of ways to get a hold of us if you want to chat about anything that we're talking about here, or, you know, you want to make sure you bring something up on an episode coming up, or, you know, what have you. So please do not hesitate to reach out, because we love hearing from you guys. We're going to kick things off with some emails. Here is the first one from Emily. She says, "Hello, Hypers. First of all, congratulations on your 100 episode run with Hype. I remember excitingly listening to the first episode when it came out and have loved tuning into the show ever since. Being a high school student with a crazy schedule, I'm not able to stay as up to date on fandom as I might like, so I love that I can get caught up with you guys every week. In episode 100, you guys discussed the list of upcoming live-action Disney movies. I admit that at the beginning of these announcements, I was super skeptical about live-action movies because we already have and love the animated versions, and remaking them seems uncreative and repetitive, but to my surprise, some of the announcements have me excited." And then she goes on to talk a little bit about Mary Poppins, which we discussed this week, and also Jungle Cruise, which I know has Marima's vote for, like, the best adaptation of all time, because she loves that ride. And then she says, "Finally, I can't rationalize how we need another Peter Pan story with the announcement of Tinkerbell, but here we go. Thanks again for the laughs listening to your show. I look forward to hearing from Selena, Marima, Kyle, and Pam, and Kristen each week, so please keep it up." Well, thank you, Emily. We really appreciate that.
So this comes from Allie. She says, "Hey, Hypes, longtime listener, first-time emailer here, but I just wanted to congratulate you guys on reaching 100 episodes. I absolutely loved getting to hear more about what you guys are like when you aren't focused on bringing us the news every week, even if you did stray back to pop culture when answering all of the fun questions. In regards to which fandom you would all be in if you could only pick one for life, I kind of love Kristen's answer." Aw, thanks. "I'm not involved in the romance novel fandom, but I have so much love for authors like Jennifer L. Armentrout and Colleen Hoover, both of which I've read and love, that I might have to make it a point to be more active. As for the rest of you who picked Harry Potter, I have to say that I think that would be my default, too. Also, I think one of the girls also mentioned during that discussion that they have a Harry Potter themed tattoo, but I don't think you ever said what it was. I'm sure I'm not the only one who would love to know what you have. Take care, guys, and keep up the amazing work. XOXO, Allie." Thanks, Allie. And yeah, I love Jennifer Armentrout and Colleen Hoover. I love them both. So yeah, you should definitely check out some, there's all kinds of recs in the romance world. Like, people cannot stop handing you recommendations. You'll have a TBR list like a million books long. And Pam, it was you that had the Harry Potter tattoo, wasn't it? Pam, are you muted?
How did you know? I was going to say, I'm the one with the Harry Potter tattoo, but very quickly, I do want to say that I love Jennifer L. Armentrout as well. She's one of my favorite people in the entire world. She's got, like, such a fun Twitter and such a fun Instagram, and I love her to pieces. So that's awesome. I love when I hear about more people that have read her stuff. So clearly Kristen and I are in good company.
Oh, yeah.
So I do have a Harry Potter tattoo. I have a very small Harry Potter tattoo. I have the three stars that are on all the pages of the U.S. editions of the books. Aww. On my ankle, the inner corner of my ankle, and it makes me really happy, and every time I look at it, I just think of all of the great times and the awesome people that I've met, and it gives me all the warm fuzzies. Best decision I ever made, and maybe I'll toss a picture up if you guys are interested on the Twitter or something later.
That's so cute and understated.
I know, it's like, it's, you actually, you don't know unless you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because and it's like kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't have to worry, like, if I have a job or something that doesn't want tattoos to be shown, because they're just kind of, you know,
yeah,
they're subtle, so yeah. But it's one of those things that, like, when people see it and they know where it's from, they're like, oh my gosh, and then other people just think it's three random stars. Or three random, it's more like three random asterisks, but yeah, they make me happy.
They're missing out, obviously.
Exactly, exactly. So we also have some tweets, and Danielle's going to take the first couple there.
Yes. All right, so from Twitter, we have one from Katie B, and she's at KatieB521, and she said, just finished episode 100. Can't believe my BF Justin wrote to you guys. He's the best. Thanks for the shout-out. Made my day. Hashtag tears of joy. Oh, that's so nice.
Aw. We're glad that it made your day, Katie. That's just awesome.
And we also have a tweet from Rebecca Klaus, and she's at Becca B Creative. She said, listening to Hypeable Height 100th episode. Congrats, guys. Convo about are we what we watched growing up? Dawson's Creek explains so much. I haven't watched Dawson's Creek, but I really feel like I should. I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of stuff.
Oh. It's wonderful. It's so... And then I need you to text me or something and tell me if you're Team Dawson or Team Pacey, because there's a right or wrong answer.
Team Pacey for life, man.
Team Pacey for life. Except as I grow older, this is such a tangent. As with Gilmore Girls, as I grow older, I feel like I would, now in my old age, I might pick Dawson, but
No.
When Pacey I was younger, it was Pacey. Maybe I need to rewatch, too.
Aw.
Oh,
so boy. Much fun.
All right, and then this last tweet that I have is from our friend Mai Elizabeth. She's at Unforgiven, and she said, I'm pretty sure Pamela meant to shout Damien when asked which show she'd want to uncancel, right? Right, Pam? Right?
Right. I replied to Mai when she tweeted me this, and my answer is that I'm still in Damien denial, and I just think it's coming back, so yeah.
I understand that. With all my heart, I understand that.
Yeah.
All right, continuing on with some more tweets, we got one from at the Lady Ash, and she says, new Hypeable Hype episode 100, lots of fun emojis. Thank for all the 100 fantastic episodes, and Dark Angel reboot mention, my love for Selena grows and grows, and then the three clap emojis. Don't know anything about Dark Angel, but Selena will be very, very happy to know that you love her even more. Our second one comes from Yannick Lindhoch. I have no idea how that's pronounced, but I'm guessing at Yannick Lindho, whatever. He says, I'm really bad at names, so I'm really sorry if I just, like, slaughtered that person.
I wouldn't
feel bad.
Be much better. But that name is super cool.
Yes, but he says, yes, Kyle is finally talking about hot guys on Hypeable Hype. I've been waiting for this. Hashtag Hype100.
Hashtag where have you been, Yannick? Because I'm pretty sure Kyle talks about hot guys every day.
I was going to say, that's like Kyle's default status, is talking about hot guys.
And then the rest of us just talk about Sebastian Stan and Oscar Isaac.
Right, yeah.
You know?
That's pretty much it. All right, and our last tweet for me comes from AB at Abo Suba, and she says, listening to Hypeable Hype 100, and I beg for a hype special for Smallville. I know at Crancy85 would be the first to agree. That is me. I love Smallville so, so, so much, and if we did a hype special, oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I would lose my mind. I want everyone to love that show, and yes, yeah, so it was nice to kind of find another fan, so yay, all the power to Smallville, yeah.
I love that show, too, and you know my favorite thing about that show is that Jonathan Taylor Thomas is in an episode.
Yes! Oh, the people who were on that show, yes! The people who were on that show before or after they were famous, like Sean Ashmore, there's the guy that plays Liv's dad on Scandal was on there for, like, a season, Zachary Ty Bryan has an episode, like, there's... Amy Adams has an episode in, like, the first season. There's a million people that guested on Smallville that are now, like, huge. And that, like, you'd recognize that back then nobody knew who they were. So it's always super fun to go back and watch the old episodes and be like, oh my gosh, look at all these people. It's crazy.
Okay, so we have a few more tweets for you guys. Here's one from Mariah Lovegood. And this was in regards to which other series we'd like to do our own hype brand of rewatchable for, because we're doing the Gilmore Girls seasons now. She says, I might be biased, but you should do all of the answers to this question. It's now summer and TV is slow, so perfect time to start. Also, yes, hashtag Kristen Bell on hype in regards to, I think it was you, right, Kristen, that said you'd like to have Kristen Bell on. I think that that would be awesome, yeah. If only.
Oh my God, yeah. That would be amazing. Please invite me on for that one.
We'd have to.
I feel like she could hang.
She could definitely hang.
She could definitely hang. Priscilla wrote to us on the show notes. She wrote, put a comment down in the show notes in regards also to a series that she'd like us to do rewatch specials for. She said, how about Roswell and Greek? And these are both shows that we brought up this past episode. I know that Greek is at the top of our list right now just because of that movie reboot that's coming up. So maybe when we finish Gilmore Girls. So, last couple of tweets here. Somebody, a member of our group, tweeted out, if you had to sort each of the hosts, into Gryffindor House, who would be which? This is verbatim the tweet that was sent out from our Twitter account.
Somebody
if you had
was
to sort amazing. Each of the hosts into a Gryffindor House, who would be which? So we got some answers, believe it or not. And Manisha said, Selena is a Gryffindor for sure. And the Lady Ash said, Selena and Kyle. So you're wrong about Kyle. I'm just going to put that out there because we've already sorted him and he's a Slytherin. But if you guys want to tell us which Hogwarts house you think that we would all be in, we would love to hear what you have to say. So you can reach out via Twitter if you would like to sort the hosts, because I think we'd all get a good kick out of that since we all, you know, resonate with one house or another. So it's always fun to hear what other people think. Finally, Christy R. says, just listen to the podcast. Great story. This was in regards to my Henry Cavill story and also Kyle's Henry Cavill story, I'm sure, because we both have had run-ins with that man. She said, I would have been the same way. And she sent an adorable picture of Henry Cavill over with her tweet, which I very much appreciated. And this is a good time to remind you guys that we are on Tumblr. We are hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And all of you guys that have been sending us pictures of Sebastian Stan, you are awesome. We really appreciate that you understand our aesthetic. You know, keep sending them over. We will happily take them. That is amazing. You guys are awesome.
All the Sebastian Stan all the time around here.
All the Sebastian Stan, all the Oscar Isaac, all the Ben Whishaw, all the Henry Cavill. Just send us pretty boys, yeah. And we will be yours forever. Hmm. We will never say no.
That's good to know. I'm seeing Sebastian Stan when he comes to Chicago in August, so I will take a bunch of pictures for you.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
With my nice fancy camera.
What are you doing in Chicago with Sebastian Stan? Tell us more.
It's Wizard World Chicago, and he's coming for the convention, and I bought myself the $90 photo op with him, so there will be that picture as well.
That's amazing. We will all hate you but also love you at the same time.
Sounds good.
That sounds like so much fun. You'll have to come back and, like, let us know how it was.
I will, and I'll take some pictures of him from, like, panels and stuff for you guys. Some nice close-ups and stuff. Because I feel like a lot of the really great photos of him that have come out within the past, like, 2 years have come from the last time he was at Wizard World Chicago. So we'll just have to continue that trend.
He has a very expressive face, so
yeah,
he's always fun to watch. So, yeah. Well, you guys, that actually wraps up our show. But before we say goodbye, we do want to remind you one more time about all of our contact information in case you want to get a hold of us. Because you never know, we might even read what you have to say on the next show. For starters, you can always reach us via Twitter. We are at HypeableHype on there. We are also at HypeableHype on Instagram in case you want to follow along on all of our adventures. If you have other lengthy comments, you can leave them in the show notes on Hypeable.com in the latest episode. Or if you want to email us, you can do so by reaching out at hype@hypeable.com. That is our email address. And then once again, if you want to follow our Tumblr where we post random things that suit our fancy, we are hypepodcast.tumblr.com. So please come and hang out with us over there and we will follow you back if you follow us. So that's a nice little incentive. And then finally, if you are enjoying our show, we would really love it if you had a moment and you wanted to rate us on iTunes. That would be really great because that is the best way for us to get the word out about, you know, what we do on here. And we're always looking to expand our fun little community because we love our listeners. And so if you love what we do, we would love it if you would maybe rate us, you know, 5 stars or something like that, and leave us a nice little comment so that other people know that you're enjoying us too. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. We loved having you, and you were such a joy because you knew about things that we didn't know about, so that was awesome.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm so happy to have been asked.
Yes. Well, we will have you on again, I'm sure. But until next time, Kristen and I will see you later. My name is Pamela.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Danielle.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with episode 102. Bye.
Bye.